You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Decoding 2019. This is where we tackle the biggest spectacle of Indian democracy, the elections. My name is Rakesh Sharma and you're listening to Money Control. On the first part of the Congress Manifesto podcast, we spoke about the five major themes that are mentioned in the manifesto. They were the Nyaya scheme, jobs, education, healthcare and farmer welfare, from Karz Maafi to Karz Mukti. Those were, of course, not the only things that the Congress went on to promise, because it was a rather hefty 53-page document. On this part two of the podcast, we will take a quick look at some of the other key takeaways from the manifesto.
The Deep Dive podcast series.
Decoding 2019. All you need to know about the Congress manifesto.
We start things off with RBI autonomy. Congress will respect the autonomy of the RBI in matters reserved to the RBI under the Reserve Bank of India Act 1939, including the formulation of monetary policy, said the manifesto, clearly referencing the difficult relationship that the government has had with the central bank, including Urjit Patel's resignation and Viral Acharya's warning that government interference in the RBI's functioning would have catastrophic consequences. The Congress promises to, quote, reverse the unwarranted and illegal interference by the BJP government, unquote, into the functioning of the Reserve Bank of India. The party promised to work closely with the RBI, restart the process of credit delivery and ensure sufficient liquidity and cash in circulation. Slamming the ruling NDA government for denying adequate credit to MSMEs, the Congress said that they created the NPA scare that brought lending to a virtual halt, adding that a one-size-fits-all approach drove companies into insolvency. The manifesto said that MSMEs were badly hit by demonetization and a flawed GST rollout, and that the government had shut out all sources of informal credit to MSMEs. And they insisted and reiterated that RBI's autonomy will be maintained and that the Congress government, should it come to power, will work closely with the Reserve Bank of India. Next up, the manifesto promises to overhaul GST. According to the manifesto, the Congress will radically simplify the GST regime with a single moderate rate of tax, zero rating of exports, and exemption for essential goods and services. We also promise panchayats and municipalities a share of GST revenues, unquote. It went on to add, and I quote again, the GST 2.0 regime will be based on a single, moderate, standard rate of tax on all goods and services. The rate will be revenue neutral to the current indirect tax revenues of the central and state governments and will take note of the potential of GST 2.0 to boost their tax revenues, unquote. The Congress has also promised devolution of a share of GST revenues to panchayats and municipalities. Like I said earlier, all assistive and adaptive aids, appliances and devices will be zero rated under the GST 2.0 regime, according to the manifesto. So, an overhaul of the GST is also proposed. Number three, and this is interesting, scrap sections 124A and 499 of the IPC, that is the sedition and defamation laws. If voted to power, the Congress promises to scrap the British-era sedition law, citing misuse and redundancy. Section 124A of the IPC, which the Congress proposes to scrap, goes on to state, and I quote, whoever, by words either spoken or written, or by signs, or by visible representation, or otherwise, brings or attempts to bring into hatred or contempt, or excites or attempts to excite disaffection towards the government established by law, shall be punished with imprisonment for life, to which fine may be added, unquote. Now, the British Raj had come up with the sedition law to thwart any rebellion against it. Now, in this context, it is worth noting that in the past few years, several student activists and human rights activists, journalists and writers have been booked under this particular law, including Kanhaiya Kumar, Hardik Patel, Umar Khalid and five academics during the Bhima Koregaon rally. The Congress has proposed that it will omit Section 124A of the IPC, which defines the offence of sedition, and has promised to omit Section 499 of the Indian Penal Code and make defamation a civil offence. In addition to the names I mentioned earlier, two journalists and an activist were arrested in Assam under the sedition law over their protests against the Citizenship Amendment Bill. More recently, it was the same law used to book a number of Kashmiri students in the aftermath of the Pulwama terror attack for allegedly celebrating the attack. In a related area, the manifesto also promised to amend the Press Council of India Act to protect, quote, freedom of the journalists, uphold editorial independence, and guard against government interference, apart from empowering the council to deal with fake and paid news, unquote. We would do well to remember that it was the party that enforced emergency in India, but this is what they hope to do should they come to power, about sedition laws and defamation laws. Next up, a law against hate crimes. In relation to the growing incidences of lynchings and mob killings, be it for possession of beef or rumours of child kidnapping, the Congress manifesto proposes to bring in a new law to punish hate crimes. The manifesto says, and I quote, "We will pass a new law in the first session of the 17th Lok Sabha and in the Rajya Sabha to prevent and punish hate crimes such as mob-engineered stripping, burning and lynching. The law will contain provisions to compensate the victims and to hold accountable the police and district administration for proven negligence," unquote. So, one of the things that they propose in the manifesto, should they come to power, is a law against hate crimes. Now, this is the one that has attracted some controversy, a review of the Armed Forces Special Powers Act. The manifesto also includes a review of the AFSPA and the Disturbed Areas Act in Jammu and Kashmir in order to strike a balance between the powers of security forces and the human rights of citizens, and to remove immunity for enforced disappearance, sexual violence and torture. Now, we must remember that the courts have clarified that offences of these nature, like enforced disappearances, sexual violence, torture, etc., cannot be thought of as being in the course of duty for the armed forces, that the courts have already said. Congress spokesperson Randeep Singh Surjewala clarified later, and I quote, "We will not withdraw it without consulting the army. It'll be discussed on case-to-case basis, but not without consulting the army. There are some areas where AFPSA is required," unquote. This, as reported by India Today. So the review of Armed Forces Special Powers Act has special significance in Jammu and Kashmir, and it has clearly been a talking point in the past couple of days. Next up, one of the key takeaways from the manifesto issued by the International Congress, 33% reservation for women in the Lok Sabha and state legislative assemblies. Congress has promised to provide 33% reservation to women in the Lok Sabha as well as the state legislative assemblies. Congress has also promised a comprehensive review of the Sexual Harassment of Women at Workplace Act 2013 and has stated that it will extend the act to all workplaces. Fiscal incentives to businesses that employ a certain percentage of women have been assured, like I spoke of it earlier in the jobs category in part one of the podcast, which you should listen to, by the way. Congress is also assured that it will set up a separate investigative agency to investigate heinous crimes against women and children. Next, statehood to Puducherry. Addressing center-state relations, the Congress has promised full statehood to Puducherry or Pondicherry. It also seeks to give special category status to Andhra Pradesh, as was promised by Dr. Manmohan Singh, and restore special category status to the northeastern states. Significantly, it also seeks to withdraw the Citizenship Amendment Bill, which caused wide unrest in the northeast only recently. It also wants to set up a fisheries ministry. In recent times, fishermen from Tamil Nadu have been arrested by Sri Lankan authorities for straying into those waters, while a similar fate was meted out to Gujarati fishermen by the Pakistani authorities. To avoid such repeated skirmishes, the Congress has promised a permanent mechanism with the neighboring countries in the form also of setting up a fisheries ministry. Calling the Niti Aayog a corrupt body doing the bidding of the government, Rahul Gandhi and his party have promised to scrap the Niti Aayog and bring in a lean planning commission consisting of eminent economists and social scientists. Congress promises to constitute a planning commission with redefined responsibilities, such as to formulate medium and long-term perspective plans and to function as an independent expert body to perform crucial functions in a federal system, said the manifesto. Next up, judicial reforms. The Congress wants to amend the Constitution to make the Supreme Court a constitutional court that'll hear and decide cases involving the interpretation of the Constitution and other cases of legal significance or national importance, much along the lines of the American Supreme Court. This is, of course, to prevent the Supreme Court from hearing cases of, let's say, less significance, which it does a fair bit of. It has also promised a court of appeal between the high courts and the Supreme Court to hear appeals from judgments and orders of high courts. The Congress has promised that the number of POSCO courts will be increased and trials will be put on a fast track. The manifesto went on to say, and I quote, "Retirement age of judges of Supreme Court and High Court as well as judicial members of tribunals will be fixed at 65 to prevent post-retirement assignments for serving judges and allow more opportunities for qualified persons to serve as judges or judicial members," unquote. And finally, one of the key takeaways from the Congress manifesto, and very importantly, the rights of LGBTQIA+, that's lesbian and gay and bisexual and transgender, etc. individuals, promising to ensure the effective implementation of the judgment in the Navtej Singh Johar case, which decriminalized homosexuality on the 6th of September last year. The manifesto went on to say, and I quote, "We will immediately withdraw the Transgender Bill 2018 pending in Parliament. Instead, Congress will introduce a bill that will be consistent with the judgment in the Nalsa case. The new bill will be drafted in consultation with the LGBTQIA+ community," unquote. Addressing the harassment suffered by the LGBTQIA LGBTQIA plus individuals, especially at the hands of police forces, especially trans individuals. And echoing what Justice Nariman said in his judgment in the Navtej Singh Johar case, the manifesto said, and I quote, "We will direct that gender sensitivity training, especially for the rights of the LGBTQIA plus community, be made mandatory in all government departments and organizations, including the armed forces and police forces." So that was another key takeaway from the manifesto, LGBTQIA plus rights. And to wrap things up, what have been the reactions of the opposition? Finance Minister Arun Jaitley called the Congress's promises dangerous and unimplementable, and that the agenda seems to be the balkanization of India. Questioning the credibility of those who drafted the document, Jaitley said that points relating to Jammu and Kashmir have been formulated by the Congress president's, quote, "friend in Tukde Tukde gang," referring to separatist leaders and parties. In relation to Kashmir, again, he also criticized the absence of any agenda for Kashmiri pundits, calling the community's ethnic cleansing the biggest failure of independent India. As for the Congress wanting to scrap sedition laws, Jaitley accused the Congress of shielding terrorists and being under the influence of Naxals, Maoists and jihadis. As First Post reported, Jaitley also picked up the agenda of civil recovery of farm loans from the opposition party's manifesto and called it a promise made out of sheer ignorance. He said, and I quote, "If 6% of the GDP is spent on one agenda, that is education, do the security forces and government employees go unpaid?" Question mark. Well, there were several other members who said some several choice words. TLDR, several members of the opposition came out and called the Congress's manifesto manifestly anti-national.
The Deep Dive podcast series.
Decoding 2019. All you need to know about the Congress manifesto.
Well, there you have it. Two parts of what the Congress proposes to do should it come to power. You have heard what they have to say, and you've heard what the BJP has to say. Read them carefully. Well, the reason why I made this podcast into two parts is, well, the only thing we have armed with us before going into the elections is accurate information. You know what the BJP is saying. You know what the Congress is saying. Don't be swayed by the TV debates. Don't be suckered into some Twitter arguments online or idle discussions in your WhatsApp groups. Don't get agitated. Let them all be. Listen to what each of these parties has to say, and should the BJP come back to power or should the opposition come back to power, remind them of the promises they have made and hold them accountable. That is all we can do in a democracy, and a culture of speaking truth to power and holding the government accountable is what we hope to do on Money Control. So here's hoping that you will make a choice, first of all, because it's extremely important to vote, and B, make an informed choice. It could be for anyone. You could vote for BJP, you could vote for Congress, you could vote for any of the other parties, or cast a nota vote. Whatever it may be, make an informed choice, please. Thank you for joining us.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast, and you have been listening to Money Control.